Three Rwandan journalists are on trial for genocide. Their case is one of more than two dozen before the UN International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda in connection with the 1994 slaughter, and it marks the first time that journalists have faced such charges. Dina Temple-Rastam reports from the tribunal's headquarters in Tanzania.
Journalists Hassan Ngezi, Ferdinand Nahimana, and John Bosco Barayagwiza are accused of publishing and broadcasting incendiary reports that fueled the genocide. Prosecutors say the editorials and articles in Ngezi's magazine Kangura encouraged Hutus to kill Tutsis. And Nahimana and Barayagwiza are accused of using their broadcasts on Radio Mille Collines to coordinate attacks in a slaughter that eventually led to the death of as many as 1 million Rwandans. The Honorable Eric Mercer of Norway is one of three judges presiding over the case.
Well, I can, of course, certainly not comment on the substance of the case, but let me generally say that one of the main issues in this trial will be whether there are limitations, borderlines, for the freedom of the press, and if so, where they should be drawn.
At issue is whether Radio Mille Collines in Kangura spurred Hutu, who made up about 85% of the population, to turn on their Tutsi neighbors, who had long been resented for their economic and social dominance. From April through July, Tutsi and moderate Hutu were hacked, shot, and burned to death. They were killed in their homes, in the nation's churches, and on the streets. The defendants, for their part, say they weren't responsible for the editorial content of their magazines and broadcasts. Prosecutors say the trio directed and were fully aware of the venomous attacks their media launched. Here's an excerpt of one 1994 broadcast submitted as evidence in the trial.
100,000 young men should all stand up so that we kill the Tutsi and exterminate them. The reason they will exterminate them is that they belong to one ethnic group.
The Mille Collines broadcasts also urged mobs to murder specific moderate Hutu who were protecting or hiding Tutsi during the genocide. Mary Kimani is a Kenyan journalist at work on a master's thesis about the role of the media in Rwanda. In Africa, she says, radio is as potent as any traditional weapon.
Radio in Africa is like every family has a radio, even the poorest families. If they don't have a radio, they'll make sure that at news time they go to their neighbor's place to listen to radio. It's the first thing you buy when you get a job in Africa. You buy a radio.
UN officials say the last time a journalist was accused of murder as a result of something he had published was in 1946 at the Nuremberg trials. Der Stürmer editor Julius Strischer was sentenced to death at Nuremberg for anti-Semitic writings. Joel Simon, deputy director of the Committee to Protect Journalists in New York, says the Rwanda case goes beyond that one. Journalists played such a large role in the genocide, he says, press freedom issues no longer apply.
There always is a kind of slippery slope argument. You know, when is something incitement? To me, this goes beyond incitement. This is essentially a form of military communication that helps coordinate these attacks. So it is speech that helped make it possible to carry out this genocide, and that is just not protected speech.
Since November 1995, the UN International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda has indicted more than 55 high-ranking Rwandan political and military officials for their role in the genocide. Before the court's arrival, Arusha had been best known as base camp for trekkers tackling Mount Kilimanjaro. Today, Arusha hums with colorful commerce, coffee shops, and SUVs. A group of recently baptized women parades past the tribunal doors, singing Swahili songs of redemption and reconciliation. More than 120,000 people are in prison awaiting trial in connection with the massacre. UN officials say the tribunal is meant to help Rwanda heal by making the leaders of the killing accountable. They hope there is a restorative power in meting out justice. Verdicts in the media trial, which is likely to run until the end of the year, are not expected until March. If found guilty, the trio face sentences of up to life imprisonment. For NPR News, I'm Dina Temple-Raston in Arusha, Tanzania.